Welcome to another edition of the Campus Tailgate from WGN Radio. I'm Dave Ennett, alongside Kevin Powell. Some big games around college football this week. And we'll talk a little bit later on about the game in Madison between the Northwestern Wildcats and the Wisconsin Badgers. But the game everybody's got their eye on around the Big Ten this week, the 2:30 start in Columbus, the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Michigan State Spartans. A pleasure to welcome the voice of the Buckeyes, our friend Paul Keels from Columbus. And it's another big game for Ohio State, Paul. What's new, right? Every week seems like you guys have a big game.
Well, Dave and Kevin, it seems like there's been a storyline for each game each week all season long. But this is really the one game that everybody was kind of pointing to even before the season started, assuming that Ohio State took care of their business and assuming that Michigan State did. And obviously they had the one exception. But I think this was kind of the game, much like last year in East Lansing, that everybody looked at as pretty much the de facto Big Ten East Championship game.
And so that's really kind of how it plays out. But as you look at this, and Ohio State has played so many big games in recent years, the game last year, two consecutive Big Ten championship games, the national championship last year. Any difference, Paul, in the way they're approaching the game this time around?
I don't think so, Dave. I think what they've tried to do is get all of their questions and positions answered. And seemingly, the quarterback question, which we thought was answered about a month ago. Then there was the blip in the radar when JT Barrett got suspended, but he came back, played reasonably well at Illinois last week. So I think that, as far as the on-the-field part of it, that's pretty much taken care of. It's just the search to continue to get better. You hear coaches talk about that all of the time. This is an offense that at times has played well. They don't have the big strike threat that they had with Devin Smith in recent years, but Ezekiel Elliott continues to run the football at a high level. Their defense is playing at a very, very high level. Some minor questions in the kicking game, but no, I think one of the things that's made them good, Dave, is the fact that they've been consistent with how they've approached everything.
Yeah, so consistent. The evidence is a 23-game winning streak in the conference. And I get amused sometimes when I look at what people have said about this team and read about it, because I mean, here they are, number one in the Big Ten in scoring offense, number two in total offense, number three in total defense. And yet at the same time, it's like, well, they're not playing well enough. I'm not sure. I know you always want to strive for that consistency and strive for that perfection. But how much good on a week-in, week-out basis, how much better can a team realistically expect to be?
I agree with you, Dave, and I think that a lot of it is just because of the success that this team had last year and the fact that we probably haven't seen as many of those 40, 50, and 60-point games against the non-conference opponents, against some of the lower level, with all due respect, Big Ten teams that people expect you to have an easy time with. I mean, when this team goes to Bloomington and they beat Indiana by just one touchdown, that alarms people. They struggled a little bit with Hawaii at times on a short turnaround from the opening game. I don't think people realized how good Northern Illinois was when they came here and played. So, and there were even people complaining about the win at Illinois last week. But, I think that when you keep that in perspective, what this football team has done is channeled that into the constant desire to improve. While they've done so many good things and played so well at times, they understand that these last two games are where they're going to have to play their best.
Yeah, and Paul, to Dave's point and to your point, do you feel that before this season started, the expectations for this team were too high because many expected blowouts week in and week out, and for the most part they've won pretty handily, but like you just mentioned, a couple sluggish games here and there. Do you think overall the expectations were too high for this team, and two, do you feel like they've played down to competition at all throughout the season?
Well, Kevin, I don't know if I would say too high. I mean, when you couple the fact that they're coming off of a national championship and then they go to Virginia Tech and they easily handled the one team that gave them a defeat last year, I think that helped fuel the fire a little more. Maybe the answer, Kevin, to the question is maybe people lose sight of how tough it is to go week in and week out and stay undefeated. Mm-hmm. Doing it either decisively, doing it with what many might consider an ugly win, that's maybe what gets lost in it. And also the fact that, some of these teams that maybe don't show as well win-loss-wise, you look at some of their talent and you see how well some of those individuals play and how they can influence things. I'm not so sure that people really have a good understanding of how good Penn State plays on the defensive line. Kind of the same case when you look at what Minnesota can do with some of the things that they have. So that, some of that probably gets a little lost in it, but, you know, too high possibly. But, you know, Kevin, the thing is, around here at Ohio State, the expectations are always incredibly right, high, even maybe at times when they shouldn't be.
Yeah. The defense, Paul, has been awfully solid, and I think we saw that last week against Illinois. And I know after the Northern Illinois game and the Indiana game, people were questioning it. But Indiana, first of all, is pretty good offensively. I don't think that's a shock to anybody who's followed the Big Ten. But I thought the way they handled Illinois last week, and Illinois has shown the ability to score points, and they couldn't get anything going really on offense against the Buckeyes. And I've got to think that's an area where they feel going into the end of the regular season now and looking ahead towards a potential Big Ten championship game that they feel really good about.
Well, what you've seen the last 2 weeks, Dave, is how well they've played against the run. I mean, you know, holding Minnesota, I think, was under 40 yards, holding Illinois last week under 20 yards, and when both teams were coming off of very good performances. And, you know, this defense is, people probably lost sight of in that three-game postseason run last year, how well this defense played. You know, Ezekiel Elliott gave everybody the flash, but that defense was really disruptive to those opponents. And this year, when you look at, you know, not just Joey Bosa, who I know the Northwestern fans remember, but the other people on that defensive line, Adolphus Washington played the best football of his career. A very consistent group of three linebackers who continue to play at a high level, and a secondary that continues to be a playmaking type of group. I think this defense really, in those games that you referenced, has helped this team when maybe the offense at times has tried to find their stride.
And, Paul, on the offensive side of the ball for Ohio State, Zeke Elliott, 15 straight games with over 100 yards on the ground. But I want to talk about the quarterback play a little bit. You alluded to it earlier, but it seemed to finally be settled, this quarterback debate between JT Barrett and Cardale Jones. How does Barrett make the offense better? The running game seems to be stronger when he's under center. But comparing the two quarterbacks, how does Barrett benefit this offense?
Well, Kevin, what he does is he gives them more of a zone option read threat. He also is probably more consistent than Cardale with these short and intermediate passes, and that's where Cardale at times struggled. JT also gives them in the red zone a little more of an option, you know, whether it's the running a zone read play, whether it's a called quarterback run on a draw. He's got probably a little better touch on the short passes, and it just gives the defense one more runner that they have to account for. And, you know, I think the other thing that it's hard for us late people to measure for is the leadership that JT Barrett brings out there. And so when he's able to do those things, that really kind of helps counteract what a lot of the defenses are doing and trying to pile up the line to stop Ezekiel Elliott and, you know, keep him from going loose the way he has in that offensive line in tandem with him.
Our guest, Paul Keels, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Ohio State and Michigan State on Saturday in Columbus. All right, Paul, what's one thing that fans should watch for in this game between these two Big Ten powers?
Probably the one thing, Dave, would be how well offensive line for Ohio State helps pass protect. I think everybody knows how good Michigan State's defensive line can be, and it's not just Shalique Calhoun. I think when you look at McDowell and Heath, they've got some other guys that can help create pressure as well as their linebackers. And, you know, Ohio State's offensive line got exposed a tiny little bit against Illinois and those two real good defensive ends that the Illini have. So maybe the one key matchup is how well the offensive line not only pass protects, but then how they're able to do with opening holes for whether it's Barrett, whether it's Elliott, whether it's Samuel, or whoever else is going to run the football.
Should be a great one Saturday. A lot of implications, obviously, for the football playoff and also the Big Ten championship. Is it being looked at that way, Paul, as an elimination game?
I think it is. When you look at the way this division is set up, you know, Michigan State's got one loss. You know, they can't afford a second one. And then Michigan's still looming out there with what they could do possibly with the tiebreaker. And then also the fact, too, Dave, that it's the last home game. It's senior day for a lot of seniors who have been through a lot here. Some of them were freshmen, and Luke Fickell's 1 year as head coach. So, it really is kind of being looked at that way.
Well, I wish I could be in front of the TV watching. We'll be doing a game at the same time, but I think my DVR will be working on Saturday. Paul, have a great call. I know it'll be a great atmosphere on Saturday at the Horseshoe, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again soon. Thanks for the time.
My pleasure, and glad to see Pat and the Wildcats having the season they're having, Dave.
All right, thanks. Paul Keels, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Again, that's a 2:30 game. The Spartans and the Buckeyes. Connor Cook's health has been an issue all week leading up to that game. Ohio State, a big favorite at home over Michigan State. I mean, when you think about it, and everybody remembers the game 2 years ago that they played. I mean, these have been some big matchups between Ohio State and Michigan State. I'm not sure that there's a team that can go into the Horseshoe and beat the Buckeyes, as good as Michigan State has been.
Yeah, the teams have split the last four games, and like you mentioned, Connor Cook with that injury, he struggled last week, but there's something about this game. They've both had it circled on their schedules all season long. Both of these teams are going to be pulling out all the tricks to find a way to win this game. I think it's going to be close until the end. I think Ohio State does have the edge because they are at home, and like you and Paul had mentioned earlier, every single game for Ohio State this entire season, teams have been targeting them. They're the national championships champions, so they know how to play under pressure, and so does Michigan State, but I don't see a blowout in this one, Dave.
23 in a row, won by Ohio State, 30 straight Big Ten conference games. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it'll be one of those games that does come down to the fourth quarter, but you have to give the edge to Ohio State in Columbus. Purdue playing at Iowa. It's the last home game for the undefeated Hawkeyes, fifth in the college football playoff rankings. Purdue played tough at Northwestern last week, 1 week after losing at home to Illinois, which was 1 week after they hammered Nebraska at home. They've been kind of up and down, but going into Kinnick Stadium, Iowa has been so tough. And Iowa's been a team that has managed to put games away. Even when a team has been able to hang with them for a while, they seem to find a way to blow it open.
Yeah, and even if Purdue does hang in with this one, the rushing defense has been horrible the past couple weeks, allowing over 630 yards on the ground. Iowa's running game is one of their strongest points on in the entire team. So, you know, if this game's close at the end, Iowa can put it away with a few first downs on the ground. But Purdue just back and forth each week. They hang in there, and then the next week they get blown out. So, I think Iowa improves to 11-0.
Hawkeyes play at home this week, and then they go to Nebraska to wrap up the season the day after Thanksgiving. Indiana plays at Maryland. Michigan at Penn State. Very interesting game. Does Michigan get caught looking ahead to the game against Ohio State next week?
And Jake Rudock's been phenomenal lately, throwing for over 770 yards in the last two games with 8 touchdowns and an interception. Christian Hackenberg wasn't slowed down until he faced your Cats, Dave. That was the only team that's really been able to slow down that passing attack for Penn State. So I don't know if Michigan will get caught looking ahead. They have to go to Penn State to win this game. But I think Michigan's defense will be able to slow down Hackenberg the same way Northwestern was.
Yeah, Michigan going into Penn State. Penn State coming off a bye, which they definitely needed after that loss to the Wildcats 2 weeks ago. All right, let's get to the Northwestern-Wisconsin game in Madison. This has been a home-and-home kind of a series. The Wildcats have won in Evanston. The Badgers have won in Madison. Last time the Wildcats won at Camp Randall was 2000. They went in there and 2013 as a ranked team, coming off a very tough loss to Ohio State the week before, and they got hammered, I think, 35-6 in that game. This is a Wisconsin team which continues to play at a very high level after that loss to Iowa, which was kind of a head-scratcher at the time, but it was the result of some turnovers. Iowa played very well defensively, obviously, in that game. But since then, the Badgers have been rolling. They have reeled off 5 straight wins. They won at Nebraska. They won at Illinois. They beat Purdue and Rutgers at home and then won at Maryland last time out. They are coming off a bye as they head in this game. Still hasn't gotten them completely healthy. They're without some guys on their defense. They're without their running back, Corey Clement. But still, they're an awfully tough team to beat in Madison.
In Madison, and I'd take the under in this one, Dave. Two of the best defenses in the entire nation. Wisconsin, especially at home, has been dominant, surrendering 10 points or fewer in all six home games. So it's going to be a defensive battle. A tough game for Northwestern, and a win for Northwestern. That's a second big win over a ranked team after that win early in the year against Stanford. So that will bolster their resume if they can get a win on the road at a very tough place to play.
Well, and I think what helps them is the win at Nebraska, because that's a tough place to play, and it's a lot like Camp Randall. You get the same fervor from the fans there. And in its last three wins, the three-game winning streak, Northwestern has put together a fourth-quarter drive in each one. A couple of them at Nebraska, one to get the win over Penn State at the end of the game behind the senior quarterback Zach Oliver, and then last week to break a tie with Purdue in the fourth quarter. So I hear a lot, they can't battle from behind. Well, maybe they can't get down two or three touchdowns like they did in the two games they lost this year against Michigan and Iowa, but I'm not sure that they can't come back if they do fall behind Wisconsin. I do think this will be a game that gets decided fourth quarter. Very tough place to play, but the Wildcats have shown some toughness this in close games and in tough games that maybe they haven't had the last couple of years.
Yeah, and like you said, Dave, their offense isn't built to come back from big deficits, but we talked about this last week. Their mental toughness all year has been fun to watch, really. You know, that Penn State game, even Purdue last week was a bit of a battle, and they found ways to win. So there's something about this team that doesn't back down from the challenge. So I think this is the game of the weekend, though, in almost all, and thinking all college football, really, or besides Ohio State and Michigan State. But this is a game I think this is can't miss for me.
There are some other games with the college football playoff ranking implications, but I think this is going to be a great battle. Illinois plays at Minnesota. The Illini need to find a way to win a game. They've been sitting there with five wins now and for a couple of weeks. Well, they got the win over Purdue, and then they had Ohio State at home, but they were stuck on four for a while. And they need to get to six wins to get bowl eligible. And Minnesota, a team which has been in these games under Tracy Clays, their head coach, they've been battling. They haven't been able to come up with a way to win. They've lost four in a row.
Four of those games are all against ranked teams, and the last three teams against top 15, three games against top 15 teams. So a tough schedule for Minnesota. This is going to be no easy matchup for Illinois, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're still sitting at that five-win mark after this weekend.
Well, you look at what they've done the last two games. Minnesota, after losing a game to Michigan at home that they should have won.
Yeah.
Then they went to Columbus, and they played tough against the Buckeyes, lost by 14 points in that one, but they held Ohio State down for much of the game. And then last week at Iowa in the battle for Floyd of Rosedale, they were in that game, 40-35. So I think you're right. I think this is a game that Minnesota, look, if they can win out, they'll become bowl eligible, which I think, considering what they've been through this year, would be a big accomplishment for them. So tough assignment for Illinois this weekend. What about the Redbirds? What are they up to?
Senior day at Hancock Stadium down in Normal. Final regular season game of the season, Dave, against South Dakota. Redbirds sitting near the top of the rankings. Playoffs get going in just a couple weeks, and Illinois State should have set themselves up for a bye next week. So they should be on to the second round, and they should have a couple home games at Hancock Stadium, Dave, if they take care of business as the march to Frisco, Texas begins, Dave.
All right, good luck to the Redbirds. Also, Northern Illinois with a win this week over Western Michigan, another midweek game. And so they've got eight wins now, and they're looking at potentially winning the MAC West. I believe they're tied now with Toledo. They've got the tiebreaker on the Rockets, and they've got Ohio University at home, I believe, on Tuesday. And that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of the Campus Tailgate. Thanks to our guest, Paul Keels. For Kevin Pell, I'm Dave Ennett. We'll talk to you again next week, the Campus Tailgate from WGNRadio.com.